Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and welcome to On the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flava on Flava News Radio. I am so excited to have my special guest, my special dear, dear friend, Stephen Jerome Ferguson of SJF Music, stepping onto the Leopard Carpet. He is no stranger to Flava News Radio, but this is actually the first time that I will have him on the show talking about who he is when it comes to SJF Music as a producer and the artists that he's going to be working with and is working with. So you know what? I'm just going to just take this opportunity because, you know, it is my leopard carpet, right? And I'm going to play a piece that was produced by Stephen Jerome Ferguson and created by Stephen Jerome Ferguson, John D. Green Sr., and Paul Ferguson, and this is called Leopard Jam.
Thank you.
We were listening to Leopard Jam, produced by Stephen Jerome Ferguson of SJF Music and created by Stephen Jerome Ferguson, John D. Green Sr., and Paul Ferguson. Welcome to the Leopard Carpet, Stephen.
Hey, what's going on, Lady Flavor?
Hey, just waiting for you to step on board, step on my leopard carpet. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. You know we got to stop meeting like this, right?
Well, people will start talking. That's all right. Let them talk. If they're talking, Stephen, they're paying attention, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So, but you know, Stephen, this is actually the first time. I mean, you've called into other shows and talked about SJF Music, but this is actually your first time stepping onto the leopard carpet, and you know, allowing us to have a dialogue around. You know, what you're doing at SJF Music, what's going on now, and what we can expect here in the near future and just in the future of, you know, what you have put together. So why don't you tell the listeners, you know, who you are and about your baby, SJF Music.
Well, my name is Stephen Jerome Ferguson, which is where the SJF comes from. Well, I guess you figured that out by now. But The production company has been a dream of mine ever since I was maybe, I don't know, maybe about 12 or 14 years old. I was always thinking about putting music together and arranging it and that type of stuff like that. And I had to kind of wait for the technology to catch up to the dream. And when it finally did, I put together a few CDs of my own and got them out there. We Are One, Windows to the Soul, Afterglow. I got about four or five of them that I put out to test my theory pretty much. I wanted to perfect my craft, and I wanted to get it to the point where I was good enough to be able to do stuff for other people. So on, was it July 7th, I believe?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
my birthday.
Yeah, it was your birthday. I don't know how that happened. But, but July 7th, SJF Music became SJF Music LLC and started putting together some very, very amazing artists and musicians that decided to put their talent in my hands, and which is, I mean, that's a huge responsibility in itself. When another musician or another artist says, okay, you know, here's my stuff, I'm giving it to you, you know, do what you can with it. That's a huge responsibility, and I don't take that lightly at all. But like I said, I'm working with some very talented people right now, and some very good quality people. I mean, but you know most of the family and everything. You know they kind of got that kind of outside the line sense of humor type thing going on. But we're all right. We're all crazy together, so it all works out fine.
Definitely. So, do you want to give a rundown of some of the artists that you are working with, Stephen?
Sure, I can. We'll go in order here, I guess. Leah Henderson, who is a very talented poet, writer, spoken word artist. Eternally Blaze, who is also spoken word and also a singer. I just found out recently she could sing a little bit. We're going to have her singing on a couple of tracks on her CD when it comes out. She's got a beautiful voice. Okay, let's see. That's one, two. Mr. John D. Green Sr., who is a jack of all trades. The guy's a musician. He's a composer. He's an actor. He's a martial artist, as well as a father and a husband and a very, very close friend of mine. Dakota Williams, who's also a spoken word, well, she's more of a poet than a spoken word artist, but We're going to be putting some music to her, reciting some of her poetry. Deborah Renee. I got a lot of spoken word artists, don't I? Deborah Renee, who's a spoken word artist. Her CD should be coming out early this year. We just completed most of the work on that around the first. It was right before Christmas when we finished it. So it should be coming out the beginning of this year. Oh, let's see, who else? A young lady by the name of Latosha Thompson, who is a gospel artist, going to be doing a CD with her. Melvin Antonio Chenault, excellent jazz guitarist, acoustic jazz guitarist. We're going to be doing some, I've done a few tracks for him already, I'm going to be doing some more for him, and he'll probably have a CD coming out as well in 2012. Sheldon Butler just came on board recently at the end of 2011. I still have to get with Sheldon, and we're going to make sure we got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted and everything, and hopefully we'll be getting a CD done for him. Hopefully we can get it completed by the end of 2012, if not early 2013. And let's see, who did I miss?
I think you got everybody.
I think that's about it. And some chick named Lady Flavor owes me a spoken word piece. I got to get with her.
I don't know what's wrong with that Lady Flavor. She's kind of lazy or something.
I don't know. Yeah. No, she got a lot going on, so I have to give her a break.
We'll have to try to, you know, we'll have to try to probe her and get her in the studio so she can record that piece for you. So, yeah. You got your hands full, Stephen. You know, I mean, I know all those names, right? But when you list it like that, you've got your hands full, my friend.
Well, you know, it probably sounds that way, but it's not really that way because a lot of these people they're just so talented that it's not a whole lot I have to. I mean, it's not really a whole lot I have to do for them. Let's say John, for instance. John just sent me like 8 songs of his that were. You know, once I listened to them and everything, I put them in the lab. I kind of tweaked them a little bit, and then I listened back to them. I said, "These don't need nothing else. I'm done with them." You know, and that kind of is, and like I said, they're just good people. They're good people to work with. Don't have any divas or any, you know, any head problems or anything like that. Everybody's down just for the art of it and the music of it. And, you know, that's what helps a whole lot when you don't have to deal with a lot of the stereotypical artist attitudes, you know. We don't have that problem, so it makes it a lot easier.
And you're right. They're great people. They're amazing talents, and I definitely can say that too, you know, on my part. And, you know, I'm proud to be a part of the SJF music team, not as an artist. I don't really know what my purpose is at SJF, but you know what? I'm going to claim it anyhow. I'm just the artist cheerleader. I'm waving my leopard pom-poms for the SJF music team. So, but the one thing that I will say too is I do believe that, you know, they are ready to, you know, step it up for some of them and understand the business part. And I think that you're a great educator, Stephen, when it comes to the business part of this industry. And I read something today that said, you know, you need to you need to hone your craft in your creativity, but you need to really understand the business part. And I think that you're the perfect person, you know, to educate not only the group that you're working with, but others. So, you know, because some of them are very new to it that are part of the team, you know, but you have a great way of explaining you know, what needs to be done and what it looks like?
Well, it's all about patience. I understand that, I mean, each one of those artists that I named are at different levels in their career. Some are just starting off. Some have been doing this for a while. And you need to be able to understand exactly where the artist is. And I'm not one of the kind of people that I'm, you know, if I'm explaining something to somebody, I'm not explaining it to them. I'm not trying to sound like a technical manual or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have this knack of stripping away all the junk and just giving you the bare bones of what's actually going on. I wish I could say what I want to say on radio, but I can't do that. But but I can. I just have an ability to be able to. First of all, I listen. That's the main key, right? I actually pay attention to what people are telling me, and once I get a feel on where they are and how they're thinking and why they're thinking a certain way, then I can actually break things down to them and tell them, say, well, you know what, that's a good idea, but why don't we try it this way? And, you know, I'm just easy to get along with, I guess. I don't know, maybe sometimes I'm too easy. It gets me in trouble sometimes, but it helps to be able to work with some good people, with people that are, I mean, I'm willing to listen, and they are willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what makes it work, is paying attention to what the other person is saying.
Sure. I think it's something that you're very good at, Stephen. And maybe we could just back up a little bit. For anybody that has not heard Stephen Jerome Ferguson speak about his background and his history that leads up to who he is right now, just to kind of briefly tell you, and I'll let Stephen, you know, clean it up and explain more. But, you know, Stephen has a background of, you know, kind of coming from the church and playing, you know, in that direction. He and I are both PKs, and so that was really interesting to find out. But then, you know, he joined the Army, and over in Germany, he and a bunch of, you know, other soldiers got together that had musical talents and created a band to then come back to the States and, you know, kind of disperse in a sense, but kind of that's where, you know, it all kind of began for Stephen. So was that my little quick story, Stephen?
Sounds good to me. Yeah, that's where I went into the military and got immediately shipped over to Germany, me and about 60 other people right out of basic training. We didn't know anything about Germany, didn't know anything. And that's why I hooked up with Paul Ferguson, and who is an excellent guitarist. I mean, the guy can just flat out play. And a gentleman by the name of Mike Burrell, who was a drummer. And together we founded a kind of like a, I guess you can call it an R&B/jazz group that played in Europe for, we were there for about 3 years. And I mean, we played all over the place, got a lot of recognition and got a lot of exposure, got a lot of experience. And that's when I really kind of got into the business side of it and everything. And all, you know, people see a group on stage, you know, they see the musicians, the singers and all that kind of stuff like that. And they get up there and they put on a good show. But nobody thinks about the logistics that's involved with getting these people to the auditorium and getting the equipment, either renting equipment or whatever. Nobody thinks about the logistics part of it. And we had to live that every day. You know, we had to not only do a show, but we had to get our equipment to places and set it up and tear it down and get it back and get paid and pay the band members and all that kind of stuff. So that's why I started really getting involved in the business side of it, was there, the advertisement, the marketing, all of it. After I left Germany, the band kind of, we, you know, stayed connected, but we were in different parts of the country. And that's when I started looking at doing some of my own stuff instead of, you know, when we were overseas, we did mostly cover songs and all that. But we had a few original compositions that we did. But I got tired of doing other people's music. I wanted to do my own. So once I got myself to a point where I could get some of the equipment on my own that I needed and all that, I started putting all this stuff together and then just started playing with it. You know, you get all this equipment and all this technology and everything comes with a manual. And if I'm one of them kind of people, I'll look at the technical manual and look at about the first 3 or 4 pages of it and take it and throw it under the coffee table and say, look, I'm done with this. Let me just play with the stuff. Let me just play with the stuff and see what it does and learn how to use it that way. So I had to go through a period where I had to learn how to use the equipment that I had. And that took me every bit of a good, oh man, about 6-7 years to learn how to actually use the equipment that I was buying.
And
so that's what takes most of the time. And while you're doing that learning process, you're practicing, you're learning how to use all these mixers and the effects and all that other kind of stuff, compression, and you got to learn how to use all that stuff, and you have to develop your own ear. And I think that's where, because a lot of people have told me the same thing. They said, now, said, Stephen, when I hear your music, I said, they say when, as soon as they hear it, they know it's me. and I think that's where that comes from. I had to develop my own ear for what I was hearing in my head, and that's what you guys are starting to hear now, because now I'm starting to learn how to make what's in my head actually come out through the speakers. So, and it takes a while to learn how to do that. But
I think you definitely have a signature sound. You know, the one thing that I have always admired about your work is that it is very clean and polished. You know, listening to other artists, I think that you can tell that maybe they are not comfortable and understand the equipment that they have, that they work with, you know, or whatever, and that, but when it, from very beginning, you know, of just a little bit over a year ago, when we became connected, you know, the sound was very, very polished. It's so funny because the Cody Show is in the chat room, and, you know, I believe that he, you know, he's a fan of yours because I believe he's been to a few shows that you have been featured on or you have talked on, and even Cody is saying, you know, you're just that smooth. And it's just true, you know, from listening to your voice, you know, when you speak, to then listening to your music, you're just smooth. And I think that's how you just kind of got dubbed by all of us, Mr. Smooth.
Okay. Yeah, I got a whole lot of nicknames now. Some of them I probably haven't heard yet.
Right.
But I really appreciate that, and it's basically me. I've gone through things in my life where I finally got to a point where I said, you know what, why get upset, you know? And that's kind of like my philosophy on life now is, you know, don't get mad, you know, don't get upset. Try to just take your time and get through it and do it right. And that's become a big part of my personality, and my personality is reflected in the music. So if you're looking for a producer to produce maybe some hard rock for you or some country western, it's not really my forte, folks. You know, if you're looking for something to be produced with a smooth groove, hey, give me a holler, I'll help you out. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. You need to put a disclaimer out there on that because, Stephen definitely has a certain sound that works for him. But you know what? In you saying that, Stephen, I mean, if you don't mind me just adding this, you know, when you do your research and you have you're looking for a producer to work with, or you're looking to connect with people, I think it is really important for you to know, you know, who works with what type of genre, or, you know, what the fit is, you know, because not everybody is going to work for what it is that you're trying to create. So I think it is important to let people know. You know, I make it very clear for myself and for anybody who is involved with Flava News or Flava News Radio what type of music I will play on my show. And if you don't know, you know, please ask. You know, so when it comes to Stephen, it's very clear the type of sound that you are going to get out of him. And so I think that's really important. You may really, really dig Stephen as a person, and you may dig, you know, the quality that he creates, but no, he's not going to do rock, you know.
No.
You know, or so I think that's I know you were kind of maybe doing that in a sense on the funny, but I think that's just like real. You know, Stephen, there's been somebody who raised their hand at the very beginning of the show. So let me bring them in.
Okay.
And see if they're wanting to talk to you. All right, area code 310. You are on the leopard carpet with Stephen Jerome Ferguson and Lady Flava. Uh-oh. They hung up. Maybe they didn't mean to. Maybe they didn't mean to raise their hand. Okay, 310, please call back. If you're not wanting to talk, I won't bring you, and you definitely can stay on the line and listen. And Stephen, you've got tons of people listening on the phone. I'm like, wow, I'm not sure if I've ever had this many people on the phone before listening to a feature, so that's amazing. So before we go any further, Stephen, I want to play the very first song that I ever heard by you when I first met you through All Media Artists. And this is Stephen Jerome Ferguson's piece called Smooth. All right, we were listening to Smooth by Stephen Jerome Ferguson off of his We Are One CD. Now, I have to tell this little quick story, Stephen. I know you've heard it many, many times, but it's something that just really stands out for me, and I think it's something, it will be a story that I will always remember. This is when I learned, Stephen, that music is so very, very powerful. And that not only can it take us to another place or make us smile or warm our hearts, it can heal. And I know you know what I'm going to talk about, but this particular piece, you know, over a year ago, you know, was almost in a sense recognized as a healing piece. Lady Blue out in Philadelphia, you know, contacted us and let us know that this particular piece, you know, when she heard it, helped relax her and take a headache away. Mm. And I thought that was just such an amazing story, you know, that, you know, that music could do that. And, you know, I should have known that, right? Because I know that I've experienced that myself, period, you know, over the years in just, you know, listening to music. You know, but when I sat there and I listened to her talk about that, I thought, she's so right. You know, music can heal, you know, the body. And she's like, you know, this is what I want to listen to, you know, when I've had a stressful day or I've had a headache. So then, you know, I tell this story, too, you know, about my own self, how your music had put me to sleep. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, this is going to be just, like, so disrespectful to tell him that. And then I realized after I listened to other people talk about your music, how relaxing and everything, it wasn't about the fact that it was boring and that it, you know, put me to sleep because I was bored. It put me to sleep because it just relaxed me and helped me to zone out. So, with that being said, I mean, how does that feel, Stephen, to just realize that your music has had that type of power over people?
That's every artist's, hopefully every artist's intent is to spark some kind of feeling or emotion or something with the art that they produce. If it's joy, relaxation, nostalgia, I mean, whatever it brings up, as long as it brings up something that you can feel. If it brings up something that you can feel, or mm-hmm. if it relaxes your mind, or if it causes you to think, or whatever it may be, as long as the art does that, then the artist has done his job. So, again, I want to thank you for that, because that's 99.9% of me doing what I do is to make people feel something.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what it's all about.
Well, your brother's hanging on the phone, so let me bring him in because I know he's busy tonight, so let's open up the phone line. All right, John D. Green, Sr., welcome to the Leopard Carpet with your brother, Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Hello there, Lady Flavor. I just called in because I wanted to have a word or two, take a couple of ticks with this here Mr. Stephen Jerome Ferguson. I heard that you want to be producing yourself there a country flicker or two, and I think I right like got one in mind, sir. So I like to run it past you, you know. It starts with the sequence of banjo.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean about that outside the line sense of humor thing?
What's going
oh
on,
guys?
What's up, dog?
You, man. You. I hear you shining on here.
Oh, man. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. Everything's everything, man. You know, I just wanted to call in, show some love. You know, I hear you putting in work.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing a little bit. Yeah. I'm not just sitting around not doing nothing nowadays. You know how it is.
Yeah, okay. One day,
so
maybe
John,
not today. Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, is John in character or what? Like, I believe he's on the movie set filming or something.
He's on the set tonight, yeah.
Yeah, no, I pulled up a little bit early. I really wanted to I really wanted to be able to tune into this show and to be able to tune into this show, you know, in peace, so to speak. I wanted to be able to take it all in this time. It seems like quite often, more often than not, I have to miss the shows that I like to partake in. So I wanted to make
sure
I was early, you know.
Mm.
Well, I appreciate you hanging on with us, John. So. And please, you know, let us know if you need to get off, you know, and totally understand that. But John, you know, why don't you just kind of briefly talk about, you know, how you connected with Stephen and how you ended up coming on board with him and SJF Music.
And what he's like as a taskmaster and producer. Oh, okay. Well, can he hear me? Can he hear me? Okay. Also, whatever I say, he can, like, hear or listen to the archives, or he can hear it live.
Stephen, could you plug your ears right now so that John is free to say what he wants?
Oh, yeah, Lady Flavor, he's one of a kind. He's amazing. He's great. Salt of the Earth. He's an amazing individual. Did I say Salt of the Earth? Because I really meant to say Salt of the Earth. No. He is... It is by fate that I was able to hook up with Stephen. Me being from Motown, you know, from the music capital, and I'm hooking up with a producer in Kansas, and it's pretty cool. And I gotta say this, I bet you people, for sake of being on the radio, are liking me now, aren't you? No, I'm just kidding. But I'm not kidding. But moving on, that was all by fate, you know. A chance was taken, and I'm very grateful that he took the chance. And we just kind of hit it off. It's like Stephen understands me, you know, because he seems to understand what I'm trying to lay down here, and that's a rarity for me that someone can say, oh yeah, I get it, and mean it, you know, without the quizzical I'm lost look on their face. He kind of gets it. You know, I don't know if that makes him weird or if it makes me sane or whatever, but he gets it, and that's very important in this industry, especially with what we do and the way in which we do it. And working with him has been I enjoy it. I tend to kind of stay on my P's and Q's a little more because he knows, you know, you can't sell him sunshine when it comes to music. So you kind of got to know what you know and be on top of what you're on top of and, you know, make happen what you say you can make happen so he can do what he does because he knows. So that part I try to stay on point, you know. But it's good to work with. He's fair. He's very flexible, very patient. He's matured into his patience quite well, I must say. Because, you know, I'm not sure we're the easiest bunch of psychos to work with, but he does well. He does well. So, and then, you know, it helps that he's actually a musician and a composer. It changes the scope of things for me. Working with him to be, you know, so to speak, side by side with him and know that, yeah, can you hear that, man? What if we? And to know that if he says, yeah, I can hear that, you know he can hear what you're hearing. That, for me, is very, very important. So it's for me, it's a win-win-win. You know, it's been a beautiful thing thus far. I see great things in the future, amazing things. They just don't have a word for that. So I'll settle for amazing or great. But, yeah. He's the bee's knees. The bee's knees.
To bee's knees, okay.
Yeah, I was going to go for the cat's meow, but I already used that one up. So.
Okay.
Well, I know that, you know, the two of you have connected very, very well, just from the beauty that I hear in the music that he's doing for you, John, but, you know, just in the way that the both of you separately speak about working with each other, it obviously works. You know, obviously works.
Right. Oh, hey, bro, I didn't mean it, man. I was just having a bad, how long has it been now? Yeah, just ignore what she said. I meant all the good stuff. Ignore the bad stuff. I meant just the good stuff.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Right. Court talk. I like to have that extra part stricken from the record, Your Honor.
Oh, no. My goodness. He is full of it. Yeah.
He's on a roll tonight, ain't he? Yeah.
He is. Ruby Roberts, can you do something about John today? Because, you know, I don't know. Maybe we might have to sit him in a corner. So I'm going to ask you, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
He is, you know, she's in the, I don't know, I'm going to say she's waving her ruby pom-poms. Cause,
that's an all-star.
Yes, she is in the chat room. Waving,
Ruby.
Waving furiously.
Right there. I'd be going to Ruby Roberts shows if she was a musician.
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
she's amazing. Like, when Ruby believes in somebody and gets behind them, she is out there all over the place, you know, for them. And that's a beautiful thing, because Ruby's a fan. I mean, clearly, you know, and she will let you know, you know. And, you know, we might have to set up a show for Ruby to come on so she can talk about Kim, because I think she's probably itching to do that. So,
yeah.
But I'm going to ask your permission, Stephen. I know that we are doing a leopard carpet for the team come February the 26th.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Definitely mark your calendar that we are going to be. I am just so absolutely thrilled. We're going to be doing an album release party for From Dusk to Dawn from SJF Music, and you are get to hear a taste, you get to meet the artist and all of that. But Stephen, would it be okay if I play a piece that you produced for John, just so they can get a feel of John and what you did for him?
Surely. I don't know, your name's not Shirley, so, but you can go ahead and play it anyway.
Hi, Shirley.
Okay, that almost feels like being called Susie, and I'm just like, I really hate being called Susie, you know, so Shirley's almost feeling like that. But hello, gentlemen. So, John, I'm going to play this just because I just want to, I mean, if people have heard your music, I don't know, but this piece, I don't know, I'm thinking it might become one of my favorite pieces, you know, so... Anyway, I'm going to play Tribal Mental Cleanse by John D. Green Sr., produced by SJF Music. All right, that was Tribal Mental Cleanse by John D. Green Sr., produced by Stephen Jerome Ferguson of SJF Music. I want to read something in the chat room, and I appreciate everybody who's hanging out in the chat room and all the people that are on the phone line. And anybody else that's on the phone line at any point during this show, you are definitely welcome to raise your hand and come on the line and speak with Stephen. That's not a problem. But first, Patrick had written in the chat room, it's hard to find musicians to work with, so when it happens, it's magical. And I have to agree with him. I would imagine that it is difficult to kind of find that right mix and fit. And that, so when it does happen, it's got to be magical. And then Ruby Roberts, of course, she's in there. She's like, John DeGreen Sr. touched on something for sure with this. Phew, awesome. So, and I agree, Ruby, I think it is an amazing piece because it's something a little bit different than what I have heard out of John. And I love the way that, you know, Stephen took that piece and worked with it. So now, to ask you, Stephen, what was that like when John sent you that particular piece?
Well, I had heard a lot of John's music before. You know, Rain, Melodocracy, a couple other pieces I've heard. So I kind of had an idea of his style and everything and what he kind of liked to do. And this was the first piece that I got that I had never heard before. And it's funny that, and John mentioned it earlier about, you know, we kind of click musically. When I put it on and I listened to like the first 3 or 4 seconds of it, I knew exactly what I needed to do to the whole piece just from listening to the first 3 or 4 seconds. I knew where he was going. I knew what pretty much what was going to be happening later in the piece. Don't know how I knew. I just knew. You know, I just had a feel for it when I first heard it. And like I said, I had never heard it before. And it just came out right. It is a nice thing when you come up, when you meet musicians that you do have that connection with. It's few and far between, actually. I really can't explain it. It just happens. And most of the time it's by accident. But I would think in this case it's more of a design that I don't know nothing about, but I'm thankful for.
Mm-hmm. So then, Mr. Green, what are your thoughts in regards to this piece and what Stephen and you created?
It's funny that when Stephen, when he first got the piece and he first sent the piece back to me, he knew he had it. He had the vibe right then and there. I took the piece back into the studio and put the piece on the Tascam and dropped everything out of it except for the bass. I kept the bass and the strings. The bass is a Stephen special right there. That's special sauce, the bass. And I kept the strings. And it, as you already know this, but the drums, anytime you hear drums in a track or something that I do, the drums are me doing the drums. I don't use pre-recorded drums.
Mm-hmm.
I make my own beat. So I laid down just the drums with that bass line and the strings, and it was hot. And it's just your kind of a measure when you can go through and you do your own metronome. You do your measure to countermeasure, time, pacing, set to a bass line that was done in Kansas for a song that you did here using nothing but the strings. And the strings are time lifted. All the strings are, the timing for strings is syncopated timing. So the timing doesn't actually, you know what I'm saying. The timing doesn't actually line up. It lines up melodically, but it doesn't line up on count time. But the bass would line up on count time according to where he went with the bass line on the drums. And I played the drums after, so I just had the music once he sent it back to me with the bass and the string, and it lined up perfectly. And I said to myself, got something there, boy. He the one. That brother knows you. That brother knows you because, you know, people look and they're like, man, where were you at? New Guinea? Where'd you make this? What's up, man? And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm like, okay. I don't, you know, it's, it, you don't, you get to a point where you don't really expect people, they like it or they don't like it. That's one thing. But when someone gets it, when they get it, that's the most amazing thing. And Stephen, well, you're amazing, bro. You are amazing.
Yeah. But you get like so I said, it's easy when I got guys like y'all to work with, man. I mean, seriously, y'all just make it easy for me. I mean, everybody's saying, oh, you this and you that. No, it ain't me. It's you guys. All I'm doing is tweaking a couple equalizers here and there. Yeah. And
I hear you talking. I hear you talking.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you were able to take the time to call in, you know, because I do know that you and Stephen have this special connect, and, you know, I wanted you to be able to share a bit of, you know, your story and working with Stephen, because, you know, tonight's about, you know, SJF music, and, you know, it's easy to play and talk about, you know, what Stephen does just as a musician, you know, and an artist himself, you know, but when it comes down to him working with other artists, you know, what does that look like? So guess what, you know, Stephen, another one of the family members is on the line, and this is going to take you in a totally different direction. So welcome to the Leopard Carpet with Stephen Jerome Ferguson, Eternally Blaze.
Like already you know, right? Good evening, everyone. How are you?
How you doing, baby?
Wonderful.
That's
wonderful.
Good. Hi, Brother John.
How are you?
I'm fine.
You sound well.
Okay. I just had to come up. I'm sorry. I had to come up with my description. Working with Stephen is, I'll have to follow John up and say, totally amazing. It's awesome. Yes, he does get it. You know, whether it be on the musical section or on the lyrical section, he takes that time and he becomes one with the other person. Whether it, like I said, be musical or whether it be verbal with me, with the spoken word, I take what I do and I wrap it up, I put it in a little box, and I ship it to him. And now it's out of my hands. I have no more control over how it's done, what it's done, or whatever. But when I receive it back, it is as we were somewhere and melted together. We blended, you know, to a point where I am he and he is me. And then that comes out in the finished product. And it is awesome. I mean, you guys have to wait and hear what he has done for me when my CD comes out. But until then, it's now about Stephen. But he is just totally amazing, and I am truly blessed for having this opportunity. I am one of the newer members. All of this is virtually new for me. And it's been a wonderful ride so far. No bumps, no lumps, no bruises. You know, it's just one flow after the other, and it's been continuously, simply beautiful. And that's it. That's all.
Blaze will always talk about love, you know, and the importance of really, really getting down and connecting. And, yeah, you definitely will get a taste of her, you know, coming up, you know, in the very, very near future. I do play a piece of hers from time to time on the show, you know, but she's magic. You know, it's a totally different direction than John. But, you know, the bottom line is when it comes to Blaze, it's all about the love. And you can feel that with, you know, what's created between Eternally Blaze and Stephen Jerome Ferguson. I think that, you know, even though you're new to this, you know, Blaze and everything, you know, Stephen's like the perfect person for you to work with, you know, because he does have that patience, and he's got a great ear. And I think also, and this is something I will ask you know, Stephen to speak on, but I think he just, it was a very good fit, you know, to be able to come on, to have somebody like you come on board with him and to be able to work with you. So
yeah,
what do you think, Stephen?
She's definitely a different direction than what John is doing, but the intent is still the same. They're both very, very passionate about their art. And John can express his in more musical terms since he's been doing this for a while. But Blaze, like I said, you know, she says she's new to the business and all that. She doesn't know anything about syncopation and all this other kind of stuff. She can't talk about that. But she can talk about what she likes to hear. And the basic feeling and passion behind it. And it's all, like I said, it's all about listening. Every artist knows what they hear in their head and what they'd like to hear. And if they can, if you take the time and just listen, and sometimes you have to kind of pull it out of them. But once you get it out and they start feeling comfortable with the person they're speaking to, they can get it out a lot easier. And Blaze, she sends me her pieces, just vocals alone. And she's very good with using her voice to convey emotion. And if you just take the time and sit back and listen to it, I'll just put a little groove to it, and one thing leads to another, and there you go. You got a completed piece. So it's real easy working with these guys because they got such a deep passion for what they do. And that passion comes through in their music, their art, and even in their ability to communicate what they're looking for to me. So that makes it a lot easier on me.
You know, it's an interesting group of people, Stephen, that you
mm-hmm.
pull together. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it is very, very diverse in talents and genres and all of that. So, just out of curiosity, you know, what was the thought process, you know, when you reached out to them?
It was only one. I didn't look at talent, what they did or what they couldn't do or anything like that. The main thing I looked at was, okay, am I able to work with this person? With this person. Not this artist.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the main thing. As long as there was some kind of personality connection there, then I can work with you. If there's no connection on a personality level, then that makes it a little bit harder on the communication level. That makes it a little bit harder on just about everything, really. And that's really about the only thing I looked at. I didn't want a whole lot of people because, I mean, let's face it, you know, I've got a family, full-time job and everything like that. I can't do 50 or 60 artists at one time. But, I hate to use the word selective, but I pretty much had to be selective. And I had to find people that I kind of knew on a personal and semi-personal level, had a good feeling for where their heads were as far as the art and just being the type of people that they are. And that was the main decision. That was this. I mean, if we can't work together, there's no need in us working together. There's no need in trying to put a square peg in a round hole because it ain't going to work.
I agree. I totally feel you on that. And I can appreciate the fact that you were very, very selective and that it was people that you had, in a sense, a personal connection with through, you know, maybe through the arts, but that you knew personality-wise that you could do, because you are very committed to the artists that you're working with. I mean, it's very, very evident that that, you know, is a fact. And I think that when it comes to this industry, it's easy to get caught up in a sense of a hype and, you know, what maybe even a talent, you know. And I've seen it time and time again where people have come together to work because of an appreciation for a talent. And then when that connection was made to do some work together, it did not work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, to this collaboration thing is, I mean, it's actually got a lot in common with a marriage, to be honest with you. I mean, the people, if they don't like generally like each other, it probably won't work, you know. So, yeah, this is, you know, John, no, I don't want to marry you, man. You forget that. But it's got a lot of the same things in common. There has to be a genuine respect with each other. There has to be a genuine personality connection. There has to be a like for each other. And a lot of these things are common in a decent relationship, you know. So, you know, just getting together because of the talent, it can work on like maybe a one-time basis. But for a long period type thing, and that's my goal with SGF. I wanted to bring people in that I could stay with. I wanted to get that core group of people together and follow the Quincy Jones rule of doing things. I mean, Quincy produces music for other artists, and whenever Quincy wants to do a piece, he brings those other artists in and they contribute to his piece. So it's kind of like, you do mine, I'll do your type thing. And it's got that core group of people that he works with basically all the time. And it's worked for him, so, man, he's one of my role models. So, hey, let's give it a shot, see if it'll work out. And so far it has.
You know, I appreciate, you know, again, you know, your thought process and how you went about creating and putting together SJF Music and the artists, you know, that you brought on board and even allowing me to play a role in it, you know. And it makes me wonder, and I think that you brought up a great point. It really makes me wonder, you know, out there in this industry, what is the thought process of who you work with? And I think that I might, you know, at some point do a Flavism or an artist roundtable, you know, on that, because I don't know how many people really are finding this great fit that you have.
Well, like I said, if they look at the, you know, try to find people you like, you know, that would help. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's tons of people out there that got talent, okay? I mean, millions of them. But there may only be four or five of them out there that you actually genuinely like and can actually generally work with and not work against. Or,
right.
You know, so, and that's what normally ends up happening when you don't have that connection. You end up working against each other. And that's, I've been there, done that, and that's a terrible feeling. You feel like you're getting nothing done and you don't get anything done.
Right,
so.
Right. I would imagine that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that probably, you know, you've gone through those periods. I know that I've had other conversations with people, especially bands, people who try to be, you know, create a band or join a band or, you know, whatever, this whole, like, different musicians and possibly singers coming together. And the talent is there, but the connection's not. And how, you know, people go from band to band to band trying to find that right fit. And, you know, I never really thought about that until, you know, probably in the last year, you know, when I started meeting people who were a part of a group or a part of a band and realizing that it doesn't always work. So I understand, you know, you wanting to and needing to, you know, create something that is beautiful and, you know, harmonious, that it just, you know, it just fits. And I think that, you know, congratulations to you, because I think you've done it, Stephen. I really, really do think that you have done it. So with that said, what can we expect, you know, out of SJF in 2012? Well, we'll speak of 2012 first.
Okay, 2012, let's see, I will just go down the list. It got a CD project coming out for Mr. John D. Green Sr., CD project coming out for Eternally Blaze.
Hey.
Yeah, go girl. CD project coming out for Miss Leah Henderson, that's three. Possibly a CD project coming out for Melvin Chenault. That's four. And some guy named Stephen Jerome Ferguson. I'm doing a CD for him sometime this summer. Yeah, some knucklehead I met along. He's all right. But he's got a CD coming up.
He's tight.
Yeah, he all right. And let's see, Deborah Renee's CD will be coming out early 2012. So that's what, 5 CDs?
That's six.
Six? Okay, yeah. Six CDs planned for 2012 as of right now.
Wow.
Could be seven. I don't know yet. But I know there will be some, there'll also be some singles being released by a couple of artists that, you know, will just be single projects. Got one in the planning for Miss Eleanor. Eleanor is our internet marketing and promotion guru, but she can also kind of sing a little bit. You know, she got a few little pipes, so we're going to go ahead and do a single for her. And that should be coming out in 2012. Let's see, what else? I think that's probably enough. That's about all I can handle. What, six CDs and about three or four singles? Yeah, that should just about fix my year up just fine.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, it's like when you started SJF Music and turned it into an official business and brought this team on, this group, I was like, you know, wow, you know, how is Stephen going to have the time to do this? And then now listening to not only the numbers of artists that you work with individually, but now the different projects that you've got that will be coming out in just this year alone is just amazing.
Well, one of the things that I insisted on and what I told everybody before they came on board was that it's all for one and one for all. We all help promote each other, period, point blank, no ifs, ands, or buts. If you're on Facebook and John puts out a CD, I better be able to go to your page and see a link to that CD on your page or something like that, or Blaze's video or something to help promote the other artists. Because they're expected to do the same thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I also had to bring, you know, a couple of people on. I've got Eleanor, bless her heart. She's got a cold tonight. I don't know if she'll be able to call in.
No, she's actually raising her hand. So since you mentioned her name, let me bring her in. So Eleanor, welcome to the Leopard Carpet with
Hello, everyone.
So you got a cold, huh?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I fell asleep while I was on the line.
Ooh, and she admitted to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking them drugs for colds. You know how that can get you sometimes.
That means our voice was soothing, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, okay.
But Eleanor has been a huge, huge help with just getting the word out about all these projects and the music and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, you go on Facebook any time of day and you'll see a post about SJF Music from Eleanor. And
yeah.
She's out there doing her thing, and we all owe her a huge, huge debt of thanks.
Go, Mama Bear. Yay.
Yeah, that's Mama
Thank
Bear
you.
There.
Thank you.
Yeah, so yeah, we call her Mama Bear, and she is. She stays on top of it. She makes sure that we know that it's time to get down to business. And I appreciate the fact that there is this rule, in a sense, when it comes to SJF Music, that all of the artists are expected to support each other. It's not just about one person's project. It's about the whole, you know, group. And I think that's one of the things that people should really think about when they band together and connect with others, is that, you know, in a sense, within SJF Music, we've created our own street team. And I think that's important, because not one person can do it all by themselves. And when you've got a group like this, everybody should hopefully have different networks. You know, I mean, you might have some of the same people on your friends list, you know, on the different social networks or whatever, but hopefully you have your own, you know, network that you can put it out to. And when you say that you are digging what somebody else is doing, and I would, you know, I trust and believe that everybody who's a part of this group really sincerely not only supports because it's family, but supports because they appreciate the talent. That it's a great way of getting out there and, you know, getting people to start paying attention. So, yeah, much love and respect to you, Miss Eleanor.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, please take care of yourself,
because
I'm going
to
need you in February.
Hmm?
I said, please take care of yourself, because I'm going to need you for that CD push in February.
Okay?
Okay?
All right. Yeah, I'm going to try to stay well.
Okay.
So, Eleanor, you know, just because, you know, you kind of came on board in a sense as like Stephen's right-hand person, you know, like an admin for SJF Music. You know, we hear these rumors that you're also an artist. You know, we're just hearing rumors so far, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard anything yet, but, you know, we trust and believe that it's real. But, you know, what was it like for you to come on board, you know, and you know, become so closely connected and working with Stephen in this fashion?
Well, I first met Stephen while I was on MySpace, and I liked his music. You know, I would go and I even had a little sound thing on my page, on my MySpace page, that I did an announcement every morning. I, you know, would say something, and it was like encouragement that I would say about him. And there was another artist that I would say encouraging words from. And what I saw was dedication. He's really dedicated. And these two artists that I'm talking about, they were really dedicated, and he was number one. And a hardworking man like that in the music, with his heart in it, I mean, there's no way you can say, well, I can't help you, or I can't, because why? Because he was trying to help himself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
with all of that, I couldn't, well, you know, I felt like, hey, why not? Why not try to help, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to sit and map out, you know, how to get the music out there, what I'm going to do and how I'm going to start, you know. And so now I had someone, MySpace, the Drama Free Zone, and it was another page. I can't remember what. Black Planet, the one with all the spam, right, boss?
That's absolutely correct. Well, that's the spam in this place I've ever seen before in my life. But
yep. But
I just crashed my computer once.
Yeah, you know, I remember. You snatched everything down. I was laughing. He snatched. I went back there. He has just snatched everything. It's like, bye. Yeah, but he is a dynamic musician and a very nice man. I must say he's a very nice person. And I think that helps him get the help that he needs.
So Stephen, that's an interesting statement, Eleanor, that you just made in the fact that because he's a nice person, he gets the help that he needs. So what do you think about that statement, Stephen?
That I'm a nice person?
Well, and that...
They don't know me very well, do they?
but that you... Do you feel, because of how you carry yourself, that people respond and... in a sense, do step up and help the cause?
I'm going to give you the honest answer to that question. I've heard people say that, but for the life of me, I can't see it myself.
Okay.
I don't see what I'm doing any different from what anybody else is trying to do out here. The only thing I try to do is I try to stick to, I've got one basic rule, and that is to try my best to treat everybody I come across the same way I want to be treated. And, you know, people can look at that in different ways. But, you know, everybody say, oh, yeah, he's nice, he's this, he's talented, he's all that. Guys, I've listened to my own music. I don't hear it, you know. But one of these days I'll get there. I'm still trying. I'm trying to create that perfect piece and that perfect song. And when I get it, I'm going to retire probably. But I think I'm a long way from that. But to answer your question, I just don't see it. I really honestly don't see it. I'm just trying to do the best I can with what I got. And,
but do you think that people respond and have a willingness to help, Stephen?
Well, when you treat people the right way, they will help you. You know, my parents taught me that. And If you treat other people, everybody that you come across, the same way you want to be treated, of course they'll be more willing to give you a helping hand with one thing or another. It's only human nature. You come across somebody that treats you with respect and with dignity, and they treat you like a person and not just a number or something like that, yeah, you'd be more willing to help them out. Definitely. So, yeah, to answer the question, yeah, I think so. But as far as all this talented stuff goes and all that, I don't know about all that, y'all. I mean,
I think that, Stephen, you know, I don't know where all that's coming from because I think
you know what?
That.
It's, I just do what I do, and like my daddy used to say, even a blind squirrel will find a nut every once in a while. So, yeah, I luck up on a couple of halfway decent pieces, but I still got a ways to go, seriously.
So tell
really
me this. So,
yeah.
So since that's the direction you want to go at the moment, at what point then, Stephen, in your mind as a professional and as a human being, is it okay for somebody to say, yeah, that was good? You know, or I am deserving, or
y'all
you know
can
what
say
I mean?
All you want to. I don't care who says it, really. I want it to get to the point where I say it about my own stuff. And
so what does that look like for you? Like, what would it take for you to be able to say that about who you
are
and what you do?
I had a friend of mine just yesterday ask me that same question, and they said, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you as far as satisfaction with your music goes? You know, 1 being the least, and 10 being the highest. And I thought about it for a minute and said, well, to be honest with you, I think I'm somewhere around between a 2.5 and a 3 as far as my personal satisfaction is concerned. So that's why I say I got a long way to go.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've got a long way to go. And
I mean, because people even say it to me, when will you say, yeah, you are doing these things or, whatever, because I'm like you, Stephen. It's like, people praise me all the time or tell me what a great person I am or what a good job I do or, whatever. And I'm not to that point where I feel satisfied that I'm doing all that I need to do. But, but I've been asked, so at what point, is it going to feel okay for you to receive the praise that you get and, and know that you sincerely have done a good job? So I just, since you wanted to, go there, I just wanted to hear it from you also.
I have no idea, really. I mean, I really honestly appreciate, all the things that people do say about the work that I do. I really honestly do appreciate it. But will it ever get to a point where I say, yeah, it's good enough? I don't even know if that's ever going to happen, to be honest with you.
Well, I think that artists are their own worst critics.
Definitely.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I've had people say, well, you should be thinking of yourself as a 6 or a 7. I said, 2, 2.5, 3 tops, But
interesting.
Hey,
okay, so, let's see, whose lines do we have open? So, John, on a scale from 1 to 10, what do you rate, Stephen?
Oh, wow, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best and 1 being the worst?
Mm-hmm.
At what? At being an advice counselor, being category. You wear many, many hats. So, are you talking about the times when I call him and I'm off the chain? I mean, I've called Stephen heated over different things in my life. For you need the older wise man's advice because he's been through the exact same situation. How did you get through it? And, you can only make out the gist of the conversation in between every curse or slur that I'm spewing forth. he gets quite a few 9.9s in my book because
9.9s.
Yeah, he's got 9.9s across the board because I've hit him up with the woe is me, everything from the woe is me to I'll burn this mother beep beep down. I fought Stephen with all type of stupid stuff. I mean, just, in our short but illustrious friendship, I've hit him up. It pops in your mind at different trying times. Like, I know Stephen through this. He's been doing this, for so long. How does he deal with this? And, what makes him not go through the Rolodex and get the addresses of those that have annoyed us and do a Jay and Silent Bob and pop up on your porch. So you said this, huh?
Right.
I've called Stephen quite a few times, actually, now that I put my mind to it. But no, Stephen's definitely a 9.9. And I only said 9.9 because he will never accept a 10. He is a musician, after
right.
all.
Right.
We just
I
don't
love your I love your explanation, John. That's perfect. And yes, the 9.9. So, Blaze, what would you score him?
I call him Big Daddy, Papa Smurf,
right?
All of that because he is the epitome of fatherhood. He watches over us. He protects us. He leads us. He guides us. He has so much patience and understanding, and even when I want to push a button, I got this thing about pushing buttons, And when I want to push a button, he'll calm me down and make me understand that I just can't push the button, and still end up putting up with me the rest of the day, So he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. So my rating would be 10.2.
Well, I'm off the chart, so he got to be off the chart, too. That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
no.
Miss Eleanor, now what would you rate Boss Man at?
I'm scared. No, I don't know. Oh,
y'all know y'all going to hear all about this later, right? Y'all do know this. Y'all do realize this, right?
I know. He's going to be like, Clay, why'd you even go there?
No. Oh, I don't know. I don't know why he, well, you know what? He's the one that's lowering his own rate. He's the one that's saying that I don't think I am that high. I don't think I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Which is good, which means it leaves him room to grow.
Sure.
He will be growing and growing and growing because he's leaving space, you know, for other artists. That he when he accepts other artists and he has no particular, you know, like a lot of people have a particular one they like best. Oh yeah, this one's the best and that one's the best. But he treats all his artists, as far as I know, the same way.
Right.
Very good answer. That was a good answer.
That
was
a good answer.
Wait a chicken.
You gotta throw a number up there, Eleanor. we want a number, Eleanor.
Huh?
Yes,
we want a number.
Give us the number. Come on, come on.
Oh no! Well, they already took all the numbers.
There you go. She's a smart woman.
Oh,
y'all see how she works. Very
wow.
Political.
Wow.
No, you don't get off that easy. We want a number.
Yeah, we want a number.
About it.
Y'all leave her alone. She's not feeling well. Remember, she got a cold.
Yeah, I can't wait till I get that. Wait till I get better. Okay, then we'll have this argument again.
Oh my goodness, boy! I don't know about all that. I believe in like commitment here. You know, and that.
Yeah.
You know,
I am
Steven,
committed.
And Steven is a big boy. He can handle what anybody can think and say and feel about him.
Maybe got your back. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
Okay, moving
okay.
right along.
Okay, so moving
thank
right
you.
Along.
Thank you.
Ms. Eleanor is not cooperating with us.
Yeah.
So this is something that I think would be good to kind of finish out this show with tonight. Miss Ruby thinks it would be absolutely amazing to have a track that is created with all of the artists of SJF Music. So I know you have an answer for that one, Stephen.
Yes and yes, it will happen. Yes, that will be an amazing thing to do, and yes, it's going to happen. It's probably going to happen this year, probably.
Lady Flavor, if I could jump in for a minute right here.
Okay.
I think I have an answer to the previous question.
Okay.
What it was about Steven that, you know, why everybody's so willing to work with him. You know, he has a special blessing from God. His ability to have this talent and be blessed with it and be as humble as he is and as giving as he is. You know, some people say, well, I got mine and you get yours the best way you know how. But that's not where he comes from, you know what I mean? And he comes from this place of just being so grateful and humble, you know what I mean? So I would call that an inner glow. And with that being said, he gives off that warm, radiant glow that everybody's attracted to, like moth to a flame, you know what I mean? So it is a wonder to work with him. It is a joy. It is a pleasure. And it is a true blessing to have this man in all of our lives and all of our lives be connected through him. And that's it. That's all.
All right. Amen, Sister Blaze. And I have to agree with you. There is something very spiritual when it comes to all of this. And the first time that I spoke to Stephen on my radio show, you know, I knew then, you know, that there was something special. There is something so very calming about his voice. There's something, even though I'm all the way in Seattle, Washington, and he's in Kansas, you know, that you can feel his presence and his being. There is a greatness about him, and that is only God-given, you know, yeah. And it comes through. I can say that some of the training, of course, maybe came from the fact of being a sergeant in the Army to being a daddy and, you know, yeah. just a great all-around person, you know. But I think definitely, you know, Stephen's been touched by God. And and so the blessings that he has within himself spreads out and spreads wide. And we just happen to be amongst those that are lucky, you know, to be able to call him friend, to call him father, you know, to call him colleague, you know, or whatever. And so, you know, I totally feel you on that, and I appreciate you saying that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Well, y'all ain't going to be satisfied until I start crying on the phone and everything, right?
I'm going to go in a different direction.
I already know what y'all are trying to do, and it ain't going to work, okay? I ain't down for it.
I'll cry for everybody. So Miss Ruby gives you a 10, and she wants you to come holler at her on her page. So.
Okay, will do.
Okay, yeah, so. Anyway, and so Miss Ruby, so Stephen is working, he's been plotting and planning this particular piece that you kind of suggested. It's already in the works, and he plans on having a, you know, his secret garden moment, and I'm going to, you know, actually sing on that particular piece. No, I'm just kidding, but SJF is going to create, you know, a special piece that includes all the artists that he is working with. But before we go any further, I do want to play another piece. And I want to play this particular piece, Stephen, because it is something so different than anything I have ever heard you do. And I was just thrilled to have the opportunity to debut this particular piece on my show. Anyway, I want to play Spirit Song by Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Oh, my dog. Yeah, I love that piece.
Well, good. Now to get it to play, huh? Oh, please, come on, play. Oh, there we go. All right, that was Spirit Song by my special guest tonight on the Leopard Carpet, Mr. Stephen Jerome Ferguson. Stephen, I love that song, and I have to tell you that Cody and Ruby in the chat room are really, really digging that song. You know, you're known for a certain sound, you know, that smooth sound, but to me that was like you stepping outside of the box. Can we expect more of that type of style out of you in the future?
Probably, yeah. It'll probably the feeling will hit me again probably somewhere along the line. It'll probably happen. Yeah, I love that piece. I really like. I forgot I did that actually. I don't listen to my music that much. You know?
Okay. Where did that come from? So you're making it sound like that is just something that very, very sporadic that may come out of you. So what you know, is there a certain situation, scenario that came about that caused Spirit Song to be created?
Yeah, it was. I was actually watching Cleopatra, the movie, with Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And the scene, if you ever seen the movie, it's a scene in the movie where Cleopatra is invited to come to Rome from Egypt. And she has this huge parade coming down the main street of Rome leading up to where Caesar is standing to meet her or to greet her. And, I mean, got all these, dancers and gold and silver and all this other kind of stuff that she's that Egypt has gotten over the years and all this stuff, and people are saying, well, you know, who she thinks she is? She coming to Rome and she flaunting all her stuff and everything. And at the very end of the procession, she's on this gold pyramid being pulled by slaves, of course. And her daughter are sitting at the top of the pyramid. They get to the stairs where Caesar is waiting for them. They walk down the pyramid, and instead of saying anything to Caesar, all she does is she takes her daughter, walks halfway up the steps to meet him, and she stops and she bows her head, letting everybody know that, you know what, we used to be, but now I recognize Rome as, you know, the head of the world now, okay, that type of thing. And mm-hmm. I got to thinking. I said, you know what, sooner or later, you know, we all have to go meet our maker, whoever we think our maker is.
Right.
And I looked at all the blessings that I have gotten over the years, and I tried to put them all in that one song. Everything that I learned about music, all of the blessings that I know I've been given, and I tried to even think of some of the ones that I didn't know about. And I put them all in that song, and that's kind of like my parade going up to my father and saying, you know what? I know you gave me all this. There's no doubt about it. It didn't come from no place else but you. So here's all the stuff that I know you've given me. And here it is. Now here I am. And thank you for it. And that's basically where the song came from.
That's an amazing story. I want to say that we talked about this before, but I'm not remembering the answer mm-hmm. like that. That's an amazing, amazing story. We've only got like 9 minutes left, and there's another caller, so let me bring him in, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, welcome to the Leopard Carpet with Stephen Jerome Ferguson, Patrick.
Hello, this is Patrick.
Hey,
I don't
Patrick.
Know how you doing, Mr. Ferguson.
What's up, Pete? What's going on, man?
Oh, just calling in to tip my hat off to you.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
Keep doing your thing, you know, and that's one of the things that's going to keep you where you're at you do what you, you know, you do what you do. You ain't trying to imitate nobody.
I'm trying not to.
And that's what's going to keep you going, bro.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to give props to you. Shoot some love your way, and, you know.
Thank you, bro. I really, you know, I appreciate it. You know I do.
Yeah. You know, we newly acquainted. I'm new to the flavor movement and everything, so we newly acquainted. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I watch what you're doing. You know.
Yeah. and you know what? That's a good thing to know, too, because it's probably a good idea if, you know, you just assume that everybody's watching you. You should always assume that, you know, because you never know who is, you know, so.
I know. And on that note they was talking about earlier, where they kept trying to force you to rate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
just let them know. Anytime you putting in 100%, you a 10.
Yeah.
So long as you putting in 100% on what you do, you always going to be a 10.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give it 100%.
Yeah.
Well, we know that about Stephen, you know, that he's going to do it. It's interesting, though, you know, like with yourself, Patrick, you know, who's also a musician and a producer, you know, yourself. And you know, that's big respect to be able to, you know, call in and, you know, and say something like that about another artist who, in a sense, does a similar thing to what you do.
Oh, it's not a competition.
Mm-mm.
You know,
right.
The competition is within ourselves. That's who we're competing with, is ourselves.
That's it, yeah.
And, you know, yeah. If I hear something somebody else doing, I'm going to let them know how good it is. You know, I'm not gonna sit there and try to badmouth them because they got something that's doing better than what I did or what, you know, I don't even compare that way. They do
no.
their thing, I do
mm-hmm.
my thing, the other ones do their thing. I don't
that's
even
it.
Compare
right.
them, you know?
Right.
And there's plenty enough fans out there for everybody. There's 6 billion people on this planet. Come on, man. Come on, man.
But do you think, just out of curiosity, you know, Stephen and you know, anybody else that's on the line, like, do you see it frequently or infrequently that our artists of the same type of caliber give each other props?
No, I can't stand any of these guys on the line right now. I'm jealous of all of them, and if I knew I could steal their music and they not know it, I'd be playing it tomorrow.
They putting in his coffee.
Yeah, I know.
His next song would be Patrick Diamond. Don't you know that's really John? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's the artists that are secure and the artists that are true artists, the true musicians and the true artists that know how hard it is to sit down and make something that first and foremost you like, something that moves you. And to put that out there, I said, like, every single piece that any one of us do, it's the equivalent to running in a room full of the most beautiful women you can imagine from around the world, butt naked, and saying, hey, check me out. You know, or it's like handing someone your newborn child every single time. It never changes. So for the artists that you hear giving each other accolades for what they like or what other people like, or like Patrick just called in to give Stephen his prop, those are the artists that have arrived, so to speak. They're beyond all the, like earlier you heard Stephen say that the people that put the egos aside, the shelf the egos,
mm-hmm.
Those are the artists that I truly admire. They're so beyond that petty little, oh, I can't say, yeah, he tight, but I would never say that because, you know, what's that?
Right.
Those are the guys that you pay attention to and the guys you aspire to be like and the guys that you want to be on there because they're beyond that. They're so secure in what they're doing that they can say, hey, yeah, I was in the studio, I took a little break and turned on that Patrick. Yeah, that's what's up, you know? Or you see the people posting, yeah, this morning I'm listening to so-and-so.
that's security, and that's beauty in itself, because that's affirmation from someone who knows the shoes that you're walking in. We're walking on that same path, you know, that hurting feet and boils and corns, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
the late nights,
it's
the early mornings, you know, all that, they know. So
all-nighters that turn into all-weekers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, like, if I can run into somebody that's been in the business, you know, ahead of me, I'm always looking to learn. So if I can get somebody I can learn from, I'm going to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't hurt my ego if I had one. I'm going to learn from them.
Well, I just think it's a beautiful thing, you know, when artists, you know, recognize other artists. I think that's almost like, it may not sound right, but it's to me, I want to say that it's a bigger compliment than a fan, you know, saying that an artist is good. Yet, the fan is like, you know, the ultimate, right? But I think
right.
when an artist recognizes, you know, the talents of another artist, that's like big stuff, you know, because
right.
it shouldn't be a competition thing by no means. There are so many people out there that can have the appreciation for the talent. So
I'll tell you this, and I'm very secure in my masculinity, but when you get an artist that you know is laying down some real funk, I mean, they're doing it real big, right? And they tell you, man, I dig that stuff you just laid down. It makes you kind of tingly inside. Because you know they know what it took to get from the point where your wife was like, close the studio door, to the point where fans are like, man, that's so hot. They know what it took. So when they tell you, hey, that was hot, man. That was all right there. Yes, it's a kind of a big deal. You know what I mean? Kind of a big deal.
Right.
I know for me, being, like I said, a newbie on the block.
Rookie.
It was so amazing to, when I heard, you know, my fellow artists, you know, come to me and say, well, I like that track, Eternally Blaze, and yeah, girl, I think you got a little something. You're working with a little bit of something right there. I think that was totally awesome. Like, I've heard my family, my friends, you know, say, you know, well, you got it. It's okay. It's good. But to hear another artist, it is like, wow, you think so? Really? You know? It was awesome. It was totally awesome. So, yes, I get that on every level. You know, that feeling that it gives you a warm, like John said, a tingly feeling all the way down to your bones.
I think it's that way because it's coming from a different place. It's not coming from a listener point of view. It's coming from a creation point of view.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And it's a lot deeper.
A level of respect, yeah.
It's just a deeper level, that's all, you know?
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, every artist wants the acceptance of their peers. You know, if you're a carpenter and you're building a shelf or something, and another carpenter comes along and say, "Man, that's some good work right there, dude." You know, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Sure, definitely. Well, Stephen, this is
somebody else seeing the pride that you put in your work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, this has been an absolutely amazing show tonight. I mean, and I knew that it would. It always is. But, it was a different twist than what we've done in the past. And so, I was excited about having you on. I knew some of the family would call in. I mean, again, there were like, you know, a bunch of guests in the chat room, don't know who they were, which is okay. You know, lots of live listeners, to then a ton of people listening on the phone. Area codes I don't know, so I'm definitely going to go look up the area codes so I can know, at least what state or city that, you know, they were listening from. So I appreciate everybody who tuned in tonight. This was special. So, Stephen, what would you like to say to close out tonight's show?
From all my heart, from everything that I am,
thank you guys for everything. Because if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for the people on the phone, wasn't for John, Blaze, all you guys, I wouldn't be doing, I'd probably be somewhere getting in trouble right now. Thank you guys. I mean, I love you all, really, for everything that you've done for me. I really, really, really appreciate it. Love you. All of you.
Wow. That was kind of sentimental, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean it.
Yeah,
I mean,
love
you,
Samantha. Oh, shush. I was like, oh, that's just, I'm just feeling the love. That was kind of a Blaze moment, wasn't it, Blaze? Yeah, feeling the love. No, but Stephen, I. Hey,
I mean,
you know,
just look at our little boy. He's all grown up. Look at him.
I know it, isn't it? Like something, man. I'm
okay,
just like,
whatever.
Ooh. I want to clap if I wasn't holding a phone on my, you know, to my ear or whatever. I'd be clapping or something like, oh, my God, I just feel so proud. No, but I totally feel you, Stephen. You know, I mean, it's just like what I do. If it wasn't for artists like you coming into my world, I wouldn't be who I am and what I'm doing. So I totally get, you know, why you would feel that way. And you know, it's very, very deserving. You know, so I look forward to what's coming out of the SJF Music Camp. I look forward to being a part of it, a witness to it, maybe one of the first to experience it. I know there's so much more beyond 2012, but I guess we'll save a little bit to be able to share on when the SJF team steps on the leopard carpet and does their album release on February 26th. So definitely mark your calendar for that. You will get to meet the artist who will be, I guess, debuting. Is that the right term? Will be featured on the From Dusk to Dawn CD coming out of SJF Music. And before I close out the show, please make sure you go over to sjfmusic.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Stephen sends out some great information. He updates you on the artists that's a part of the family, other with some other tidbits and this and that. So go over and sign up for the newsletter and just get familiar more and more. And, you know, as SJF Music spreads the word amongst the family and to our networks, if you're digging what you're hearing tonight and you're digging what Stephen is doing or any of the artists, you know, help us spread the word. You know, we welcome you to join the street team and help spread the word. So just there's nothing to hitting that share button. So with that said, thank you so much, everybody, for chiming in tonight. We've got John still on the line and Blaze and Patrick. So thank you so much for calling in and talking to Stephen and talking about Stephen. That's a beautiful thing, too. Everybody who hung out on the phone with us, to those in the chat room, to those hanging out in the wings. This was a great, great show tonight. So, again, thank you so much. And, Stephen, I love you so much, and I have so much respect for you. So, you know, I give you a 10 plus, plus, plus out there. You know, if I can say it.
Oh, bless your heart.
So I am going to close out tonight's show with a piece by Stephen Jerome Ferguson. It's called Rules of the Game, off of his Windows to the Soul CD. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.